Hello everyone and welcome to episode 3 of Keno's Beard. I'm Keane. Dale, how are you?
Not too bad, Keane. Yourself?
Ah, good now, good now. It's a bit early in the morning to be recording, I think.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you too. Are you dressing up or doing anything special today?
I don't need to dress up.
too true. We promised better predictions last week.
And we gave them.
We did. We keep our promises here, don't we?
I really did expect West Ham to beat City, and that's what
happened. Yeah, you're jammy. I think I'm going to quit predicting the Man City games because I haven't got one right yet, and I went with the safe option twice, I thought. So I'm not going to predict the City game this weekend.
No?
No.
It's the big one this weekend.
Yeah, but... it's too dangerous a field, I think. I might just go with the draw.
Did we get it? We haven't got a chance to calculate the scores in the past 2 weeks. We'll have to do that soon for the sake of listeners.
I think you got 6 out of 9 last weekend.
Okay.
Or maybe 7 out of 9. And you bet me by 1, I think.
Okay, so that's 1-0 from week 2. We need to find out the story for week 1. And then we'll have that episode 4, so we'll know the score then. Right now, I'm in the lead.
We'll actually do a bit of preparation for next week's episode.
we'll be in college next week. We're actually not in college. We actually have to record on Skype this week, which is not ideal. We usually do it in person, and if not in a pub, in a lecture hall or something. So we'll sort it out next week.
It's a bit too early to be having points today, I think, at the moment, so... It's just not the same. Anyway, getting on to I think the big news and what nearly made me choke on my cup of tea this morning. Gerrard might be leaving Liverpool.
I've seen the reports. What it stems from me is a player that's rushing to the end of his career. That the club are sketchy on offering a new bumper contract or a big contract, and he really wants one. And when he comes out to the media, and a bit of a sob story that I'll be playing next year, but I don't know if I'll be with Liverpool. Liverpool fans will find it upsetting, like you do, and the club will have to return and give a contract. That's how I see it.
Well, he always did say he wanted to play out foreign, so I could see him possibly, if the contract isn't offered, he could definitely go to like. Any team that offers him a contract, really. Maybe New York, they seem to be signing everyone up at the moment, or Barcelona or someone like that. They'd love Gerrard at the club.
Even though he's not at his best or anywhere near his best, I don't think he'll have a shortage of clubs because the array of experience he brings.
And the merchandise as well, like Steven Gerrard on the back of a PSG shirt or something like that would be a big seller, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I hope for Liverpool's sake that I don't think they will get rid of him because he's too important to the whole club. Even around the dressing room, like, you need a character like that. Who else is really experienced enough at Liverpool at the moment?
Well, you need to look at clubs that have lost an array of experienced players down the years and how they've suffered. Like, you have to bring up Manchester United and the players they've lost. Like, last season, you imagine Vidic, Rio Ferdinand, Matrice Evra. In the last 5 years,
Scholes, Giggsy,
you know, yeah. Edwin van der Sar, Gary Neville. And when you lose
those players...
It has
an effect on the whole club, like, when a big player like that leaves. Like, Carragher, when he left, like, there was a bit of a... There's no organisation in the Liverpool defence since he left. On set pieces, as you can see this year, they seem to be conceding set piece every week. So it's obviously going to have a big impact on the whole squad.
Just staying on that, on the defensive topic in Liverpool, I know we've seen talk about Liverpool a lot in the podcast, but they've been a topic of conversation every week we've recorded, so there's nothing we can do about that. I was listening to John Giles, I think he was on Off the Ball, and he made a very, very valid point about Brendan Rodgers and how last season Liverpool were poor defensively, and this season they're poor again. And they bought defenders, and they bought Lovren, who came in as a good defender. But what's happened? What he looks at, he goes, it must be something to do with Rodgers' coaching. He mustn't be a strong defensive coach.
So I'd agree with that completely. As you know, like, they won games last year by outscoring teams, and it doesn't seem like there is a defensive framework at Liverpool. whenever you watch them, like, there's no organisation at all. And Rodgers, he's known for his kind of passing, possession football, attacking football. So if Giles said that, I'd have to agree with him completely. He doesn't seem like he's the strongest in the defensive department as a coach, which begs the question, maybe he should bring someone in or even try and improve that side of his game himself.
Yeah, well, you see, that was the case with Arsene Wenger a few years ago after the Invincibles, and I think he had to replace his defensive coach or even get in defensive coach because he didn't have one or just something along those lines. But it does make a difference, and it looks like a real area for concern for Liverpool. And if you do lose Steven Gerrard, well, then you're going to need, as you say, a leader midfield. So you're going to need to strengthen your defence and a leader midfield.
But that's not only a leader in midfield, it's a leader for the whole team. Like, who can you see stepping up at Liverpool at the moment? Martin Skrtel isn't quite good enough to be considered a leader.
Yeah, I'd say Colo Toure.
Colo could be a good leader, all right. Future captain, maybe. Maybe
the diet pills.
Yeah. Henderson could step up, maybe. I rate Henderson, and he seems like he'd be the future captain, so maybe they're clearing the line for him.
You never know, you never know. You never know these things, but I do think it's an area of concern. Defence, but I think the whole Gerrard thing, I really wouldn't be worried about it. What looks to me is a player that's come out looking for a new contract. The club are playing hard to get good, possibly over how much you're going to be earning per week. But he wants a new contract, he wants to stay. But from what I can see, the fans are going to read this and they're going to be pissed off with the...
Yeah, Stevie, new contract, Brendan, will you?
You'll hear it at the weekend. They'll be singing his name louder than ever. And
oh, definitely.
The owner will hear, the manager will hear, and the club will have to make a big decision. Now, that's not to say, because the fans will do that, that the club will turn over and bend over backwards. That's not always the case, but with Steven Gerrard means a lot to the football club. And it wouldn't surprise me if it went on a while, but it did it offer him a new contract.
I hope for my sake, anyway. And the old ticker that he does get a new contract. It'd break my heart if he left. Anyway, moving on. Rio Ferdinand's been in the news this week.
He has been.
Hasn't been on Twitter that much lately.
He hasn't.
What was it he said, Dale?
It's something on the lines of "Get your mum in, plays a feel well son, #sket."
Now, we're taking that from another website, Rio, so we're not quoting you word for word, if you ever get the chance to listen.
Just on this, you got a bit of a fiercer band than John Terry, who racially abused Anton Ferdinand. And I spoke with this. Now, for me, I believe that sexism, which I think is contained in his tweet, definitely, sexism and racism should be looked at equally and should be punished equally.
Definitely. But the Terry incident was on the pitch, and that kind of, you know, it's kind of hearsay what he said. Like, it's kind of a schoolyard fight on the pitch, isn't it? Whereas what Rio said was in the public sphere online, on Twitter.
And I think should the FA be allowed to step in there because it's not on the pitch?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's an ambassador for young people. Young people obviously follow him. He's an ambassador for the club. He's an ambassador for the Premier League and for the whole, even English football as well. He's an English centre-half, good one at that.
I suppose, and if you look at it this way, if you're representing your company online and you go out and you say some drastic, go on drastic measures of abuse and so on.
You won't be there tomorrow morning. And Rio's been on Twitter long enough, I think it was Charlie or Matt Letizia said it, that he's been on Twitter long enough. He's pretty Twitter savvy. He should know he shouldn't be saying these things. Even if he was riled up by someone, it's no need to react
but
to
you're a footballer, you're riled up every single week.
Yeah, and he feels the need to react to this guy on Twitter.
You see, you've people, grown men, 10-year-old children shouting all names you want every single weekend. Rio's in his 30s. He's an experienced footballer. And one guy having a go at him saying that QPR should buy a new defender got to him that easily. Come on.
Maybe he's having a bad day, you know?
Bad day counts in his millions.
He was fined $25,000. It's just a little bit of a few pennies out of his pocket, but that's a lot of money, I think, for a tweet.
Look, I just think that there's no place in society for racism or sexism.
Especially in football.
I think he definitely deserved the punishment, but now, according to the Mail, Rio Ferdinand may refuse to work for the FA again after Sket tweet ban, reports Neil Ashton. Now, like... He's refusing to work for the FA. That's only unpublished, so I haven't got a chance to read it. He's at the end of his career. Is he saying that he's willing on retiring?
Rio?
Hmm.
Well, yeah, I can see it happening sooner rather than later. Or maybe leaving the Premier League. As I was saying, New York are looking to sign up everybody they can. So who's to say he won't be in America or even Australia somewhere in the next few years?
The one thing I suppose that you can look at, do you know how many other players have been banned for calling someone's mum? You know, name calling someone's mum or...
I don't think anybody's been stupid enough.
I'm sure it goes on the pitch.
Oh yeah, on the pitch, but you wouldn't say it to a fan. You know, you wouldn't turn around to a fan and say, look, mum's a sket.
I don't even know what the word means, to be honest, but it doesn't sound very nice.
It's along the lines of a streetwalker, prostitute, kind of.
Okay. Nice one, Rio. Stay classy.
Yeah, you got murked with that three-game ban.
Right. Next up, we've got Top Drog. Drogba has scored 3 goals in as many games.
Yeah. They're all against small teams, but... Still, three goals in three games.
Against who?
Small teams.
Small teams that Chelsea couldn't put away.
you got a lot of Fergie time there. I thought Fergie was gone.
No, but on that, Gary Cahill has come out and said that Drogba is back to his best after scoring 3 goals in 3 games against United, Maribor, and who was during the week?
Shrewsbury.
That big, massive club, Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury a bit of credit here. They put up a big game against Chelsea.
But I'm looking at the 3 goals in 3 games. Warrington is back to his best. I mean, Drogba was, at the time, a peak striker in European football.
And one of them was a penalty as well.
One of them was a penalty, and the other one was a shove on Raphael, giving a foul.
Sour grapes. No, I think... he has caused a lot of hassle in the box in the last 3 games, but to say he's at his best is a bit of a stretch. Drogba at his best was just something else.
I think this is Gary Cahill just absolutely worried about how long Diego Costa is going to be out for, and just hoping he can just boost Didier Drogba.
I'm a bit worried about that too, because I still have Costa as my captain this week.
So have I. And I'm going to stick by it. There's 75% of fans football that he will play this weekend. So I'm patiently waiting for Mourinho to announce that he will be there at the weekend. Also, just breaking news on the Chelsea fans football front. Mourinho announces Fabregas will miss the QPR game as Fellaini has not let him out of his back pocket yet.
Remember when Fellaini played an excellent game last week?
Fantastic game. He's a new player. I tell you, Louis van Gaal must be doing something illegal.
No, come on. It was all David Moyes. It was all Moyesy.
Moyesy's still there in the background.
I told you I was right.
But look, I think it's great when you see a player that comes under so much criticism come out of nowhere and starts performing again. Yeah. No matter who he is or what club he's playing for, I think it's great to see their own esteem being boosted, you know?
Yeah, I'm even happy to see it, even though he's a former toffee and a current scum. I'm happy to see him come out and do well, because I always liked him as a player.
Look, I suppose if you're needing a new leader, you throw in 35 million, you never know.
Yeah, no need to spend money anymore, is there?
Could replace old Gerard.
Fellaini. Replace Gerard.
Well, look, my job for the next year is to convince you if he goes into a bad form, that bit of form again.
Who are we talking about now, Gerard or Fellaini?
Fellaini.
Yeah, if he goes into a bad bit of form, we might sign him off it.
So moving on, you've Raul coming out of retirement to sign for New York Cosmos.
Yeah.
What's this about? What to make of this?
I think he's just, maybe he's just missed football, or he's missed a paycheck every week. I think it's New York currently have Frank Lampard under books, and now Raul.
No, that's New York City to have Frank Lampard.
Is Raul not gone to New York City as well?
No, New York Cosmos.
And is that not the same club?
No.
So there's three teams in New York now. There's New York Red Bulls, New York City, and New York Cosmos.
New York's a big place.
Yeah. I don't think it's enough for three football teams, though, is it?
Look, you never know.
I think it's huge. It's huge for the MLS and huge for American football, though, to be getting these.
But they haven't got teams. They're not playing games yet.
Oh, they're a winter league, I think.
No, but New York Cosmos haven't got a squad yet. As far as I'm aware, they're not playing football yet.
Yeah, but the draft is coming up. I think that's a great system, though, the draft.
Explain the draft. Elaborate.
In any sport, players from
with an American accent, please.
No, come on. You don't hear that. Football show, not a soccer show. Yeah, basically players from college. They play 4 years in college, and then they come out and get picked by professional clubs in a draft system. They do it in all the American sports. They're really big on it.
Being brought into Premier League? That's unrealistic, I think.
No, it's just no colleges in America, in England, really, that would...
Not even college. I'm sure there's an alternative you can do, but with the money in English football, I don't think it's going to be ever going to happen.
Yeah, and because MLS... The teams are franchises. They're not actually clubs. They're owned by the league. So
you also have the barrier. You're only allowed three foreign players, which can never be brought into English football. If you think about it, because there's so many foreign players in England right now, you can't
in a lot of leagues.
It used to be in the Italian league years back when it was at its peak.
I know. I think it's still in the Spanish league. You're only allowed to have three non-Europeans in the side, and obviously you can go by these rules by having a young lad that's been in the side in the youth sides for the past 5 years or something.
You're only allowed three non-Europeans players.
I think so.
So Barcelona have Neymar, Mascherano,
Messi doesn't count.
Why?
Because he's been in Spain for
He's a citizen. Yeah, okay.
God knows how long.
That's two. There's surely another one. Alves. That's three.
No, but he's been in Spain a long time as well.
Okay, what you're saying is there are loopholes for these Spanish clubs.
There's huge loopholes for it, but I'm just calling on my football manager experience, if anybody wants to correct me. The new game is out in 7 days, actually.
We started this podcast. You can't bring in football manager into this.
Why not?
Because it's a virtual world, this is real life.
The new game is out in 7 days. Miles, I hope you give us a tweet or something so we advertise your game, you advertise our podcast, please.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
Yeah, he will. He's a nice guy. Moving on. What do you make of Keno?
The new interview in shortlist.com magazine, or Shortlist magazine. Fantastic interview. We've put it up on the social media of Keno's Beard, Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you follow us, RKB Beard Podcast. RKB Podcast, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, at RKB Podcast, yeah.
Quick interview. It's set in kind of a question and answers.
I never knew that he fought Peter Schmeichel.
Have you not read the book yet?
No, I haven't started it yet.
Yeah.
I know he gave me the PDF, but I haven't got around to it.
for work reasons only. He talks about the incident with Peter Schmeichel, headbutts him, and a bit of a brawl during a pre-season tour with United. But he touched on that again in the interview. He touches on why he shaved the beard, the day we named the beard Keno's Beard. Talks about drinking and how Fergie himself and Fergie kind of started a few arguments over his his drinking during on Sunday nights and so on. He was asked, has he ever been to the Hacienda nightclub in Manchester? He said no, it was not his scene. He was more interested in pub life. And then he was asked about, say, TV appearances and the likes of I'm a Celebrity and so on. He's been asked to do it, and a few of the red tops in the media today have gone with the slogan that he could be in the next I'm a Celebrity. I'm not too sure about that going on his answer. He said that the more you say no to these people, the more inclined you feel to say yes. But just wondering, Keen, Rocky in I'm a Celebrity.
I would hate to come back from a bush tucker trial without getting anything if Keno was on my team.
Well, I tell you, yeah, that's one thing. But if you ask Keno to eat, I have to eat kangaroo testicles for the team, I think
How about you eat it, Ant?
After a few arguments with Ant and Deck, I think he'd do it no problem. I think he'd ask for more.
I think he'd do it just to shut the Geordies up and just get them to stop talking.
This is for you, Shearer.
No, I think he'd do it just out of pure stubbornness, like no kangaroo ball is gonna beat me, like.
So last week we had Eric Lamella's bollocks, and this week we got kangaroo bollocks on the podcast, so it's a whole lot of bollocks for you.
Yeah, we talk a lot of it anyway, so
But yeah, it's a great interview. Like I said, it's up on our social media feeds. Definitely worth checking out. It's like a question and answer layout. He touches on a lot of things. He touches on Gary Neville's punditry, that he doesn't rate it as highly as other people. He said it's in newspapers that Gary Neville writes for, that he's great. And
I'm only going through it now. It is actually very good.
It is very good. The way it's laid out is it's as if Keane is there with you. Speaks about his book too, and several things that he didn't put in for selling the book, which I think would be a bit pointless, wouldn't it? Why would you write a book that no one would buy?
I'm not sure. Why would you write a book? Why would you start a podcast no one listens to?
Yeah, well, look, we're asking that question. Keen needs to answer the other question, but a very good part in that interview, he speaks about the PR that goes on behind books, and he was at events, and there was a number of different kind of people who wrote books with him at the event, and people were asking. So one guy asked, "Why should I read your book?" And Keen felt like saying, "You know, well, fuck you, read it if you want to read it. Like, I don't care."
What are you doing here, like?
But the other guys were like, "This book will change your life," and so on. And Keen was like, "I'm not going to sell myself like that," because he doesn't care about the book's PR team. He is who he is. He's not going to change. He's Roy Keane. Yeah, he's not going to sell his soul for a book.
I think he wrote the book just to clear a few things up, didn't he? I think it was more along those lines. I'd really hope Keane wouldn't sell himself over a book. So
he did say too that if Fergie came and apologised to him, that he'd say let's move on. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I think people are making too much out of it. It was so long ago, they should just stop talking about it.
Well, look, like you said before he came on, whenever Keane says something, it's printed.
Yeah, it is.
It's news. And there's a sense of obsession. But
that's what Fergie used to be like as well, wasn't it? So it's kind of they're kind of part and parcel of the same thing.
Well, you see, you got both like similar that. People, and it was inevitable that they were going to clash. Winners are winners, and they're rootless. Most winners are rootless, and they do anything they can to win. And it's no surprise that these two people... That's what happened. And you see down the years, Fergie clashed with a number of players that he won stuff with. It's just that just happens. It's not a surprise. There's too much of an obsession.
It was bound to happen between these two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on, we told you we have to do our predictions.
We did do better last week.
A lot better last week. I'd say you think I got 6 or 7 out of 9. That's not a bad tally. What did you get?
I think I got one. I may have got one less than you.
It's just not bad. Tell you, out of 9 games, you want to be getting at least 5.
Yeah, we also done the El Clasico. I'm including that one too.
Yeah. We were spot on about that. I think Real Madrid really made it look easy against Barcelona.
They did. Did they go? They went 1-0 behind as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
And came back very well.
Sure.
Anyway, this week's predictions. I think there could be a lot of surprises again.
Yep, going first, Newcastle and Liverpool. Who are you going for this week, Ian?
I'm going to go with a draw.
Yeah, I'm going for a draw as well.
Newcastle won their last two or three. And
well, three if you count the League Cup.
Yeah, well, maybe Liverpool will be re-energised from the two late goals during the week. I can see Barini starting, actually. Barini and Balotelli.
Balotelli back to being the best striker in the world, eh?
I never doubted it. I never doubted it. 1 second. It was a good finish during the week. Did you see the goal?
No.
It was a good finish. It was very acrobatic. But he took it. Anyway, I'm going for a draw with that. Not much really more to say on it.
Okay.
Arsenal and Burnley?
Going for an Arsenal win.
Yeah. I agree with you, and for any fantasy managers there, I think making Alexis Sanchez your captain this week would be the smartest move you could ever make.
And you have until 11 or 12 o'clock tonight to put Danny Welbeck in your team. If not,
11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Fierce threats going your way if you don't put Danny Welbeck in your team.
I think I might put him in ahead of Costa.
I have him in my team already, I think.
What do you reckon?
I have Costa in anyway.
You've had Danny in for a while.
Since the start.
I might have to put Danny in actually because Sacco might be out for the West Ham game.
What about Burnley? Did they stand any chance? You need to consider Arsenal playing out jail cards lately.
I don't want to write Burnley off because it is the Premier League and anything can happen.
Really? But it's not the Spanish League?
Oh, well, look. Less of this now. No, I'm going to write them off completely and say Arsenal.
Arsenal, okay. I think it'll be 3 goals, Arsenal 3-0. I think Danny Welbeck, Sanchez, maybe a brace for one of those.
Sanchez, brace, and Danny Welbeck. No, I'm not going to go with a Welbeck goal. I'm going to go with a Santi Cazorla goal.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there, so.
Chelsea and QPR.
Chelsea, they need a win ahead of the game against Liverpool next week. They need a win. QPR, I think, would be no match for Chelsea. It just depends on Fabregas getting out of Fellaini's pocket. QPR. You are?
QPR have been playing well lately.
They have been.
As you said, Fabregas still hasn't got Fellaini's pocket. So
look, I think Chelsea are going to be raring to go. They know that they withdraw against United and Liverpool next week. They want to be going into that game with a big win. Chelsea win. I don't think there's going to be any surprise there, but I think this season and last season, it's been so unpredictable, the Premier League, with surprises. So
yes.
I'm going to stick with Chelsea this week.
I'll go with you on that one. We've agreed on all of them so far. So I'll...
Everton and Swansea.
This is a tough one now. Everton are starting to come into form again.
And they are at home.
Swansea or Everton? I'm going to go with a draw here.
A draw, or I'm going to go for an Everton win at home.
Okay.
I think Martinez is getting that clip we spoke last week about Barkley and Lukaku coming to terms with one another again. I think that's going to be a massive difference.
I'm saying it. Draw solely because of the fact Boney seems to be coming into form again as well.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be 2-2 draw for me in that game.
Okay, so this is another big game this weekend. It's Hull and Southampton. Southampton in terrific form. Is this another real test for them with Hull doing quite well at the moment?
So I haven't talked about Southampton a lot this week, and normally I rant and rave about them. I think Graziano Pelle is just such a good player, and Dusan Tadic as well, but Hull, I think, can get a result here. They're a good price to win the match as well, 29-10. So, and they're at home. I'm going to go with a Hull win strictly for betting purposes, I think. Tenner on, gets you 2.29 back.
Right, I'm going to stick with Southampton this week. I think it's going to be very tough. But I think Southampton will draw out a narrow win. Southampton, as you mentioned, the players they have, they're in good form. I'm not writing off Hull at all. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a narrow win. I'm very tempted to go for a draw. But with that price that you mentioned there, it's definitely worth putting a few quid on that.
Yeah, I said for betting purposes, I'm going to go with Hull, but for the prediction purposes, I'm going to go with a draw.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't see them separating each other, so draw for me.
Leicester and West Brom.
This seems like a bogey game now. Mm. We were talking a few weeks back about how well Leicester were playing and Vardy and Ujoa, and it seems like we jinxed them because Ujoa hasn't got a shot on target since we complimented him. And Vardy hasn't been up to scratch either.
Whereas we have quite the opposite of West Brom with Berrino.
Yeah, Berrino scored goals. They lost during the week against Bournemouth. I think they'll be looking to bounce back. They're away from home. I'm still going to go with a West Brom win, strictly because Leicester haven't been playing great lately and Berrino's in top form.
Yeah, I'm with John. So
West Brom win. All right.
Yeah.
Stoke and West Ham. West Ham, another informed team.
And Stoke are home. Never, never, ever an easy team to go away to.
Definitely not. And Diafra Sakho could be out.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for a draw here.
I think I'm gonna go for I don't want to write off West Ham because I liked them a lot this season. But I'm gonna go for a Stoke win.
That's a big call.
Yeah. Even though West Ham beat City last week, I'm gonna go with Stoke win at home.
Right, up next we got our game of the week. Manchester City versus Manchester United.
Yeah, United have the last two games of the week. This needs to stop.
It just shows you it's the biggest club in England, so...
I'm not going to argue with you. Because it is true. Man City and United at the Etihad Stadium. Etihad Stadium. Do you think they can sell a few tickets here?
You buy when you get one free.
Yeah, you'd love that now if they're doing that for the away fans.
Yeah, of course I would. I think United are going into the game obviously after getting a morale boost in results to Chelsea last week.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think City are in as good form as Chelsea, but they'd be more up for it. And you have that with Silva, with the possibility of also having Yaya Touré. Yaya Touré has been desperate this season, desperate. And I was more worried about having David Silva against us than Yaya Touré. David Silva is apparently out for 3 weeks, according to the Mirror.
He's going to be a huge loss for City in those 3 weeks, I think.
Well, you see, the thing about David Silva is he's... Right, and it's too early to call Di Maria the best player in the league, right? So I'm going to call David Silva. David Silva is the best player in the league, I'm going to say. He's just a lovely, lovely, tidy, clever footballer.
He can do anything with the ball, I think.
You need him on song. And when he's not on song, he offers nothing. You know...
What I think is a great compliment for City and David Silva whenever they play together. And people might think, what's he talking about? I think James Milner. Because in the game against Liverpool last season when they were 2-0 down and Milner came on, Milner kind of... gave Silva the freedom to go and do his thing, got back to 2-2, and that happens a lot at City. I think Milner is a good player for City, and I think he's a good player for Silva as well, and he contributes a lot to Silva playing well.
Right, so prediction for this one.
I said earlier on that I was going to go with a draw, but I'm going to go with a United win.
I said the same thing, and I'm going to go for United win as well.
I don't know why, but I think United, they got a good result last weekend. So they can...
Could this be the start of Louis van Gaal's kickstarter for him for a season? I think...
You still have to go away to Hull City.
Right, we'll move on. Aston Villa and Spurs.
Villa win.
Villa win. Draw.
Draw.
Draw for me. Yeah. I think we're very different this week.
We started off pretty similar. But pretty different now at the moment. Just the Monday night game sets to be a big clash.
Yeah, Palace and Sunderland.
Yeah, these games always end up being Premier League classics, I think. Whenever someone says, Palace and Sunderland on a Monday night, who's going to watch that? Then end up saying, I wish I had watched that. I can see it being a draw there.
So you've gone from a classic to a draw?
Yeah, it could be a 3-3 classic.
Be a 3-3 classic. Well, I suppose the way Sunderland League goes.
I said before we started it'd be 5-5, so I'm a bit more conservative in my views now.
Right, I'm going to go for a Palace win. I just think that 8-0 defeat just really sucker punched Sunderland.
They played better last week though.
Yeah.
But Vito Minone seems to be making a fool of himself lately. I'm still going to go with a draw.
Just to go over it again, can you go through your predictions?
Newcastle, Liverpool draw. Arsenal to beat Burnley. Chelsea to beat QPR. Everton, Swansea draw. Hull and Southampton draw. West Brom win. Stoke beat West Ham. United to beat City. Villa to beat Spurs and draw for Palace and Sunderland.
All right, my list now. Remember my prediction last week? I predicted West Ham to beat City.
I can't forget. You haven't let me forget.
I'm going for a Newcastle and Liverpool draw.
Yeah.
Arsenal to beat Burnley. Chelsea to beat QPR. Everton to beat Swansea. Southampton to beat Hull. West Ham to beat Leicester. Stoke and West Ham to draw. Man City. I don't know. Man United to beat City and Spurs and Villa to draw, and then the Monday night fixture, Crystal Palace to beat Sunderland.
Just to correct you there, you think West Brom will beat Leicester, yeah, not West Ham will beat Leicester.
West Brom will beat Leicester and Stoke and West Ham will draw, sorry.
Right.
So just before we wrap it up, as we didn't do it this week, your character of the week.
I think it'll have to be the man himself after that interview. I was nearly distracted throughout some of the podcasts trying to read it. So I'm going to go with Keno.
Keno, yeah, I think it was a fine interview. I was stuck for my character of the week, actually. I think Keane is the easy bet.
Yeah, look.
I can't think of anyone else.
Just on the Halloween side of things, if you were a footballer, a centre half, which striker would you be most scared of going up against?
In the Premier League?
No, in League Two.
Of course,
in the Premier League.
Does Akin Fenwa still play in League Two?
Sorry, Akin Fenwa? I'd be afraid to go up against Akin Fenwa, to be fair.
Yeah, I'd be terrified. No, in Premier League. I think because his face looks like plastic that could melt at any minute. He's big, he's strong, he plays like a bit of a tinker. He's a goal scorer. He's Diego Costa.
Yeah, another easy option.
His
there,
face is like a mask, actually, like a Halloween mask.
He does look like a mask. I'd be afraid of Peter Crouch just climbing all over you. I wouldn't like that in a game.
Well, look, anyway. I suppose, actually, just before we do go, there is one question on the Facebook page. Best goalkeeper in the league? Nice and short.
David De Gea.
Well, it's definitely between David De Gea and Courtois. Bow did superbly well for Atletico Madrid. And they're doing well in England right now. I think coming from what David De Gea has come from, his first 6 months in England were horrific. There was a number of mistakes and knee on his back, but he bounced back stronger. And I'd have to say right now, it's definitely between the two.
Would you put Joe Hart in there?
Nowhere near the.
Don't rate him, no.
His distribution is horrific. He hasn't developed into the goalkeeper. He should have. And I think it's a matter of his ego.
That's the English press picking up another English player as well, isn't it?
Well, yeah, perhaps. Perhaps that's the case. So for me, it's between Courtois and David De Gea. My United affiliation is telling me to say David De Gea.
I'm going to go with De Gea. And as you know, I'm a diehard Liverpool fan. But I don't think there's any goalkeeper in the league better than him at the moment.
Not Mignolet, no.
I'll stop. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, same to you, Keane.
See you next week, lads.
See you next week. Hopefully we have things a bit more organised next weekend. But hopefully the predictions are on song again. Make sure to get down to the bookies. Bet reasonably. And
don't forget about that price on Hull. It's a good price.
Yeah. Don't put it into your accumulator. Thanks for listening. See you next week.